not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
You know, you cannot address being superhuman without addressing the mind and the spirit. We did that for a while with my co-host, Ken O'Neill. How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be talking to you.
And we did that for a while, and we had a lot of people who loved Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio because it bridged one of the more important aspects of physical culture that goes unaddressed by pretty much everybody else out there, and that is mindfulness, spirituality, whatever that means to you. We're not talking about religion. We're not talking about organized religion. We're not talking about orthodoxy. We're talking about understanding there is something else out there. You call it what you want. And that being connected to it can only enhance your life. And being disconnected to it from it can only give you a disservice for reaching your full potential.
Right.
And Ken O'Neill is the guy who did this for us. And he's been gone for a while. And we're bringing him back. And Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio is going to be better than ever. Okay. Go ahead, Ken.
That's right. And Fred Hatfield brought us back when he died, because we produced a 3-hour program on him, which for me prompted a great deal of contemplation. Fred was a very close friend, and had he lived, he would be doing this with us. He would have been a partner in Trans Evolutionary Fitness.
So let's talk about that for a second. Some of the strongest men that we look up to, the forefathers of physical culture, and I consider Fred Hatfield one of those guys, who have contributed more to the acquisition of strength, dwelled as much in spirituality and mindfulness as they did under the bar squatting, right?
Right. I have a theory. Fred and I were about the same age. We were in the last wake of classical physical culture that was still roaring, you know, a decade or so before we were born, with Bernard McFadden and his empire. His Encyclopedia of Health was called an Encyclopedia of Physical Culture until, I think, maybe the 13th edition in the 1930s. The old-time strongmen, some of them were doing things with the mind, including yoga, which was coming into the West at about that time, and some of the posing they did was right out of yoga, like the stomach vacuum. But the important point is, if you go to George Hackenschmidt, upon retiring as a strongman and a world-class wrestler, he became a professor. His published works have a lot to do with mind and attitude. So they were doing the best they could at that time, given that Western culture, due to religion and then later science, made mind psychology a taboo area that was only broken in 1878 when William James established psychology at Harvard University, and did so in collaboration with other things that were going on in England. But I think for our generation, physical culture was demeaned. Physical culture was one of the items that was kicked out of medical school so that pharmaceutical medicine could become a monopoly under the Rockefeller Master Plan. So we grew up thinking that it was all physical. Our physiology, our muscular development, and everything is based on a physical paradigm that excludes mind. Well, I grew up in a world in which local people included Tommy Kono and Bill Pearl. And Bill Pearl has been an advocate of mind, of meditation, of hypnosis, of self-hypnosis forever. Tommy Kono was this mysterious Japanese-American guy who, as an Olympic lifter, would start the year out starving himself down a bit, set a bunch of world records in the 148-pound class, let his body weight go to normal, set some more world records as a 165, and then pig out a little bit and do some more records in the 181-pound class. He could freak people out with a glance. Well, I later found out he was a Buddhist, and some professional wrestlers introduced me to Buddhism. But as a physical culturist, I was not going looking for religion. I was going looking for powers of the mind-muscle connection, to become bigger, stronger, faster as a lifter. Frank Zane did the same thing.
I was just going to say, you know, we attribute Frank Zane with having one of the most aesthetically pleasing physiques of all bodybuilders of all times. What people don't understand, and he said it on this show, that he could not have achieved the level of perfection that he did with his body had he not harnessed the power of his mind. And he does it. He still does it today.
He still does it today. Frank will be on some of our shows, letting the cat fully out of the bag about practices, about his second master's degree in psychology, in which he did work in light sound entrainment and hemispheric entrainment using sound frequencies instead of anything else. There's a bunch of people out there. And the important thing is that mind is our greatest attribute and our greatest unknown. For purposes of what I'm calling the evolutionary mind renaissance, that's the new direction. When I was doing trans-evolutionary, I was focusing on individual fitness. We're focusing on evolutionary fitness of person, planet, now, because we're one big system. And the reason I'm using evolutionary mind is for several reasons. One, we are evolution. That's who we are. It's an unending process of adaptation, of thriving, of living. The mind, we don't know our minds. Now, what I got from going out east, and it took a long time to understand it because the translations are horrible. I had to get real good in Sanskrit and Chinese. And what those traditions do is something that in our Western tradition we'd call phenomenology. They make the mind itself the focus of training. How your mind constructs things and how it's constructed things and how you can get to a point where you clear yourself of those constructions and abide in a state of pure consciousness. In our generation's lifetime, many people have experienced that on a transitory, temporary basis with entheogens. What we learn from the traditions, the non-Western traditions, which are not against entheogens in the slightest, but would say that's a beginning introduction to who you are. How would you feel about living in that state? That is your base camp. That is your operating system.
You know,
that,
calling it physical culture almost does the actual phenomenon a great disservice. And,
right.
But science is showing us that this is true, right? So I've read peer-reviewed published studies that prove that, for instance, fatigue begins in the brain, not in the muscles. I have seen documentaries about how they can block fatigue using a magnetic device. It almost looks like a halo, where you've pushed your legs as far as they can go and you can't get another rep, and then they put this thing on and all of a sudden you do more reps. So for lack of better terms, when we talk about the spirit, we talk about the mind, we can actually think of the brain as being the framework or the house, if you will. I know a lot of people like to think of the spirit as being this thing we call a soul. And most people, if you ask them, what does a soul look like? Well, it looks like your body. It's like it's the shape of your body. But I would offer that the soul is the mind. The mind is the broth of what the brain does. And we know that that is where strength occurs. We know that is where fatigue occurs. So when we talk about mindfulness, we're not talking about this touchy-feely, ubiquitous thing that people sit around and smoke a hookah and talk about, you know, angels, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin. We're talking about a real, known, measurable, quantifiable phenomenon that contributes to strength, that in fact is strength. It is strength.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said, and there's a ton of things that could be said in response that will fill programs for months and years, frankly. Brain. Our dominant model says brain is the seat of consciousness. However, in our physics for nearly 100 years, we don't talk about matter as being anything but an embodiment of energy and consciousness. That's quantum physics. So is consciousness more fundamental than brain? Might be. I don't have a position. We're facing a mystery that our science cannot solve, and those that attempt to do reductionism are doing dogma. They're buying into an ideology rather than being a scientist and saying, I don't know. Maybe it's like the distinction between a particle and a wave. It's both, depending on how.
Yeah, a wave is a group of particles oscillating in some sort of harmony. When you think about it.
Right, but the standard quantum physics mystery is that, well, on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it's a particle, and Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, it's a wave because it works both ways.
Right.
It's more of a function of what the observer is putting in their mind to observe. And when we do the contemplative traditions out of non-Western, Indian, China, basically, it's the same thing. We're getting down to that point and experiencing it where we haven't created anything, in which mind or consciousness is radiant, self-illuminating, and from which we can make constructions.
I would also submit that mind, consciousness, drives evolution. And here's, I'm going to go back to Dr. Daniel Lieberman's book, The Story of the Human Body, for a second. He talks about in the very beginning of the book that the defining event that happened for us, hominins, humans, was that we became bipeds. We learned to stand up and become ambulatory on our back legs. And
right.
over millions of years, the geometry of our hips changed. We developed arches. This was all selection pressure that did this. But keep in mind, so when we look at this phenomenon and we say, wow, one of the first things to happen in evolution that made us a dominant creature, because it allowed us to stand erect and have direct sunlight, have a harder time to hit us, by the way, was one of the things that it did. Number two, it made us appear bigger to our enemies, scarier, okay? But all of that was a result of what the brain, then the mind, perceived that standing up would do for us. And then the body went, okay, I've got to follow because the brain wants me to stand up for some reason. So I would submit that consciousness drives evolution. And I would also submit that today the lack of consciousness is the reason why we are de-evolving.
Oh, wait till next week. Next week, transevolutionary fitness was derived from Jonas Salk, the man who developed the polio vaccine, and as a genuine human being, refused to patent it. He could have made billions of dollars. He said, it's like sunshine. It's for human life.
Right.
He went on to become a great evolutionary thinker, and in 1982 co-authored a book with his son, Jonathan, who's also a doctor, a psychiatrist. Jonathan has done a revised edition of the book, The New Epic, The New Reality, and he will be on next week talking exactly what you're talking about. He's got it laid out.
I want to repeat this for people who don't understand. The son of Jonas Salk will be on Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio. These are the types of guests that we will bring, and we are going to heighten the experience of this audience, and we are going to raise the bar.
Well, I want to add something. We'll probably have Michael Murphy on again and Jeff Kripal, people associated with Esalen. I love Esalen, and I have it's not a complaint, it's a comment. Esalen has thrived, and I'm from that area. We have a big grassroots that's disenfranchised by expensive programs that leaders of society can go to, but many of us can't. If we're going to have a renaissance, an awakening from this endarkenment, this and dangerous to our evolution, we need to inform and nourish a grassroots movement that begins to think and live and value within the discoveries that are coming to us, both from our ancient wisdom traditions meeting up with contemporary science, the science of consciousness.
It's very, very exciting. And I would
so it's
also...
It's practical, it's applicable, you're going to get stuff to do.
Right. Yes, and that's the important thing, because it's easy to talk about this stuff, but actionable steps will help the audience change.
I'm calling it life culture instead of physical culture, with the idea that the mind stuff, the nutritional stuff, any of the stuff you train with. You go work out with it.
You know, I would also submit that today's fragmented thought, because the push notification on this app is coming through, you're getting an email, you're getting a text message, you're getting a message on Facebook. People can't even sit long enough and have one consistent thought today without being interrupted five times, six times. And I would submit to you that this is exactly the antithesis of what will lead you to your truest, happiest, most enlightened self. And let the masses go, be social media puppets. Let them go. But I'm telling you right now, the things that we're going to be discussing in the episodes to come today fly in the face of what is popular today. You will not be popular, but you will be happy. And that's the key to life. Who cares who likes you if you're miserable? Who cares who likes you if you don't like yourself? And this is an important thing that's missing from the majority of society today. Would you agree with that statement?
I agree with it totally. I've lived that way. I mean, if my life had been a popularity contest, I would just be another person moving at the momentum of mediocrity and couldn't stand myself. I probably wouldn't be alive at 73. I think a lot of people just burn out from boredom. We face a great challenge, and part of that challenge, when I left high school, just prior to graduation, we had to sit for, I don't know, ACT, SAT, something like that. And if you were going to the school that we took the exam at, you had to sit for another hour and write an essay for English placement. And I'll never forget this. I was 17 years old and had to write on how my high school education was geared to induce conformity. I didn't get it. I got placed in Bonehead English, but my scores were so high they put me up to English 1A. But within a year, I could have written a book on that topic. We are geared toward conformity, and it's worse than ever. You've, with Superhuman Radio, had many guests on that are doing leading-edge things with nutrition, who are vested commodified science, our pseudoscience, much of the time, of medicine, says, oh, those don't work. Don't do that stuff. Take this. Take that. Our healthcare system, as someone noted recently, is not a healthcare system. Congress isn't debating healthcare. It's debating health insurance. It's advocating standardized care, and we know that the number three cause of death for at least the last 20 years in the United States after cancer and heart is medical intervention.
Yeah.
250,000 people die annually due to medical intervention. Huge. A great deal of that is pharmaceuticals. We're learning increasingly that the transition in pharmaceutical care in our generation has been from simple cures that work in a week or two to an advocacy and a commercial advocacy of drugs for life.
Right. And the young, and the younger and younger they get you on, the happier they are.
Oh, they're wanting to put kids on statins, and now it's been determined that statins, which were originally developed as a fungicide, see your mitochondria as a protozoa that they're supposed to go attack, and when they do that, they disrupt the DNA in a way that facilitates calcium deposits to arterial tissue. That's the beginning of hardening of the arteries. So the paper out of England, the title was statins cause arteriosclerosis.
Interesting.
The very thing that people are investing billions of dollars to not die of, they're helping.
And now that's another thing. I want to talk about this when we come back from the break. Those of us who are not myopic, those of us who pay attention to history, there are trends that I want to talk about. Because this is part of being aware, part of awareness, part of self-awareness, part of mindfulness. It requires that you pay attention. And even though the masses are walking off the cliff, you turn left.
We're going to have a consumer advocacy function, too.
Yes. Yeah, I like this. All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Quest Keto is making the ketogenic lifestyle more delicious and more convenient than ever. The high-fat, moderate-protein, low-carb keto diet has earned a reputation for being complicated. Quest Keto has changed all of that by offering sweet and savory snacks and an entire line of ready-to-go ketogenic meals. They've taken the guesswork out of it for you. From keto cinnamon rolls, pizza, crackers, and more, you can enjoy it all and experience the benefits of this nutritious approach anytime, anywhere. Thanks to Quest Keto. Go to QuestKeto.com to order your meals today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality, passion meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad.
There
today.
Is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's extra virgin olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vince banner ad and use code SHR45 and get 2 bottles of Papa Vince for $45 while supplies last.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LiveOnLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LiveOnLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Foxy Lady. Okay, so You got to be old enough to know what I'm talking about. Sadly, I am. And Ken is. You know, when we look back to the early 1900s, the introduction of hydrogenated oil in the form of Crisco by then small Procter & Gamble in Cincinnati, Ohio. They started to say that beef tallow and lard were bad for you. They had no proof of this, none at all. They didn't have any of the scientific research and rigors that we have today. But they just decided that animal fats were bad. And if you've listened to this show for any length of time, you know I've always talked about Dr. Paul Dudley White, the founder of the American Heart Association, in 1938, writing a position paper saying, get away from Crisco, get away from hydrogenated oil. It's causing heart disease. But no one paid attention. But I want you to just stay with me for a second, right? The government, what you need to understand, like that song says, we won't be fooled again. But we are, time and time again, because most people are not paying attention. They're not paying attention. Most people are not mindful. Most people are not critical thinkers. Most people don't remember what they did yesterday, never mind trends from yesteryear. If we look at government and their injection into the discussion of health, what we see time and time again is they tell us something. 50 years later and millions of lives shortened later, we find out they were wrong. Then they tell us something new. And then 50 years later and millions of lives shortened again, we find out they were wrong. So by now you would think people would go, who the F cares what the government thinks about nutrition and its linkage to health and disease? They appear to get it wrong every single time. Would you bet that horse if it loses every single time? Would you plunk down your hard-earned money and bet that horse? The answer is no, but people do it anyway. Look, in the 70s, it was red meat. Now we're finding out that red meat is not the evil. Back then, it was eliminate fat and increase carbohydrates and high fructose corn syrup. Now we're finding out that's bad for you. Now the government's coming back around to beef. Now they're coming around to dairy. If you pay attention to the government and you alter the way you eat based on their recommendations, then I say that is the evolutionary selection pressure to get your genes out of the gene pool. So 200-300 years from now, your people aren't around because you are stupid if you believe the government.
As a mind issue, we have to address within ourselves. See, we tend to look at fact as objective, as something in nature out there, instead of looking at how did we believe that. Now, when we bring the mind part in, you know who the conservatives and the liberals and the progressives all fear the most? They fear the people that brought us the Latin Renaissance, the free thinkers of the late medieval period that didn't kowtow to inquisitional dogmatic rule. And we do not train our folks to be free thinkers. If you're a free thinker, you get called a libtard, a conservative, any name that can be hurled at you by sheep that are scared to death that you just might unnerve them to have a thought.
Or you know what it is? And this comes in, this is with religion too. I know my name is Carl Lenore. I don't have to walk around convincing people my name is Carl Lenore. You only have to convince people of stuff like why you should be a vegan or why you should be a Christian. And I got nothing against either of those, but understand what I'm saying. If you believe in something, keep it to yourself. But when you really don't believe in it, but you will believe in it more, the more people you can convert to thinking the way you think, then you go, oh, I must be right because they think so too. Then the reality is that you don't even belong in that segment because you
right.
don't believe it.
We have to include a species of science in that. It's taken, in 1859 when Darwin and Marx and Wagner all did their stuff and changed the course of Western history, science began to take the position of rule and authority that religion had once held. And there are people like Richard Dawkins, for example. I call him Pope Richard Dawkins. He's become the atheist pope. You know, as ridiculous as that sounds, many people invest their faith now in science. And so when science says that you have to take statins, that statins are safe, that the studies that show that they cause neuropathies, for example, are flawed, you're listening to commercial theories of science. You're listening to commodification. Now, the same thing applies in the fitness world. We don't have holistic ideas of fitness or fitness research. When not to pick on him, but when Arthur Jones came along with Nautilus, that was an early. There was virtually no exercise science at that time, so he could say what he wanted to, and he developed a profound commercial theory of science that has never of exercise that's never been proven. Parts of it have made sense. I'm not sure that's not true of most all training schemes.
And that's the indoctrination process that you're describing.
It's the indoctrination process, and where it gets dangerous is that it gets protected by your own emotions. You begin to doubt your sanity, or you get scared. Our medical and our political system run on fear-mongering.
So,
and when you talk about government being an authority, government is a melodrama, in my opinion. The two-party system largely functions, in my opinion, to distract us from truths that we might discover if we start digging into things.
For I gotta inject something here. I don't believe that the parties are that coordinated or intelligent. I think they're just out for their own little fiefdom. And so,
controls them? They're controlled by huge corporations.
Oh, listen, I've said it before. Industry and government are like conjoined twins, conjoined at the heart. In order to separate them, one of them has to die, and neither one of them is willing to give up. So they depend on each other. In fact, I just watched a great documentary last night about Alexander Hamilton. This nation has been built upon the precursors of debt. Debt. We are all the Federalists back then created the Federal Bank and created debt so that it could own the states. I mean, that's a whole different thing. What I want to say here is this. As a rule of thumb, if the majority of people believe in something, you should not believe in it, because the majority of people in this country are stupid. They are dumb. They, look at them. They're unhealthy. They're getting sicker by the day.
Well, I would put it a little kinder. I'd say they're ignorant, and it's not their fault. It's not a native condition. They're illiterate. They're made to be illiterate because, God forbid, they'd have independent thinking. And where our program is kind of radical is that we're promoting grassroots free thinkers, free livers. We're contributing to what might become a mutation. I think our program is very much like the X-Men motif of Professor X's Cerebro that's broadcasting out to people that are mutants that are different and don't know how to be different. So that they can begin to understand their difference and become literate in the bigger picture. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does.
We don't have that kind of resource. And the private centers that have thrived on doing this for 50, 60 years aren't reaching the grassroots. So what I'm proposing is that we don't, not that we criticize them, we extend their success into our society.
But the reality is that society is not going to accept this message. We need to think of ourselves as a small club of members who selectively get to enter, because we're never going to reach Dr. Oz's audience with this message. They don't care about this. They are sheeple. We're never going to reach the masses, and it's okay. There was a time where I felt compelled that we had to save all these people, but we don't. This is the new evolutionary selection pressure. The idea is 300, 400, 500 years from now, the sheeple will give birth to children who will not procreate because they will have illnesses like colon cancer at 12 and 13 years old, and their genes will be left behind. They will be out of the gene pool. And those of us who understand the truth, who ignore the false messages and move forward, we will inherit the planet.
I think it's sooner than that. I'm hearing that here in Central Texas, that the forecast is that for kids in middle school today, they will become the first generation whose parents outlive them due to type 2 diabetes.
Yes.
They don't even get sarcopenia because they haven't had the full expression of muscular development.
Ken, they have kids that are 8 years old that they're doing calcium scans on, and they have arteriosclerotic plaque and 40% blocked arteries already.
You're kidding me.
No, they're going to have heart attacks at 14 and 15 years old. We're already seeing it. We're seeing stroke at 14-year-olds. We're seeing heart attacks in 15-year-olds. We're seeing it. It's not being propagated. It's the one-off story on the evening news about a child who had a stroke in school today. But that's the canary. That's the canary in the mine.
That's the news we're here to report, as well as the remedy, the prevention and remedy to it. We're the alternative press. We're the evolutionary press, because evolution is alternative at this point in time.
Okay. I want to take a deep dive on something. I want to literally touch the third rail.
Good for it.
And I want to do it after this commercial break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
All right.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Discover the faster way of getting real results with BodybuildingSupplements.com. BodybuildingSupplements.com has powerful, proven solutions like patent technology, Crealkaline Supreme, Mass Pro Synthogen, and Adaptogen N.
RVD here. I love Adaptogen N. Give it a try. You'll see.
Buy Adaptogen N at BodybuildingSupplements.com. See remarkable results in 21 days or your money back. BodybuildingSupplements.com. Since 1993, the trusted source for real results.
Use promo code SUPERHUMAN and get an extra 15% off your Adaptogen N today at BodybuildingSupplements.com.
In today's world, what would you give to have that ultimate edge, to always function at the highest possible level? That's exactly what the Da Vinci from Ultra Human gives you. Just one tablet a day increases focus, lowers anxiety, enhances social fluency, and improves your mood and drive. It's 8 hours strong with no crash. A sharp mind is priceless. And the Da Vinci even comes with a money-back guarantee. Find out more at theultrahuman.net. Make your brain 25 again with the Da Vinci from theultrahuman.net. Use discount code SHR10 for 10% off and free shipping.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 just upped its own legendary game. To distance itself even further from the rest of the pack, Synthogen X2 now has double the key active ingredients. If you've ever wondered what steroid-like recovery feels like, Synthogen X2 delivers. See why others compare it favorably to powerful bodybuilding drugs at Synthogen.com.
Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it. Few products can boast being considered the food of the gods by the Aztecs, but the ingredients in Bio Superfood have been. Some algae are the most efficient forms of nutrients, proteins, minerals, enzymes, fatty acids, antioxidants, and much more. Bio Superfood is something you have to experience for yourself. That's why, for a limited time, buy any Bio Superfood products and save 15% off your first order. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the banner ad to read the research and learn why Bio Superfood is the best supplement in the world you're not already taking.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
That's right, boy. Jack. Welcome back. To Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio. The revival of it. We did some amazing shows a couple years ago, but it's time to bring the show back because we are, as a population, in desperate need of this message. And I don't say that everybody's going to get it. A lot of people are going to hear this stuff and go, oh, this is mumbo jumbo and tune out. They're going to say, oh, this is counter to my religious beliefs, and they're going to tune out. This has nothing to do with religion. This has nothing to do with any of that stuff. This has to do with your mind.
And there'll be people who say it isn't science.
Oh, it is.
My invitation is learn to do science because the science you're adhering to is religion.
Okay, so here's the deep dive and here's the third rail. 6 months ago, I wrote an article. And I let a few people read it. And everybody said, do not publish this article because you will get a lot of pushback. You'll get a lot of hate. And not because the article is incorrect in its assertions. And not because the article is designed to be incendiary or insulting or attack any group of people, but simply because no one is willing or ready for the message of this, the article. So I'm going to turn it loose here at the risk of pissing people off, but I ask you to be open-minded with what I'm about to talk about. So several years ago, I discovered two Scandinavian scientists who had started doing research on fetal development under the influence of a variety of different phytohormones, xenohormones, because we know that in a human fetus, genitalia and sexual preference, the wiring in the brain, occur at two different stages of fetal development, one at the first trimester, one at the third. So these two scientists, they started to look at influencing them by taking rodents and subjecting the mothers to the influences of, let's say, phytoandrogens and xenoandrogens at this point of fetal development, and then phytoestrogens and xenoestrogens at this point. What they found was, they had rodents that had the genitalia of, say, male rodents, but they had the sexual preference and desire of female rodents. And so this research actually fortified a belief that I've had, that I've even said on Super Radio in passing a couple times, that the bumper crop of LGBT people we have today is not accidental. You can't wake up one morning and go, as a man, I wonder what it would feel like to be with another man. You are either hardwired that way or you're not. It's like you can't wake up one morning and say, I wonder what it would feel like to be a redhead and just sprout red hair. You can't do it. And sexual preference and genitalia are hardwired formations that occur in the womb. But you can have a different sexual preference than your genitalia is built for. We know this. We see it. So,
now, are those substances something naturally occurring, or they do a pollutants?
Oh, right now. I mean, if you are a mother who is pouring soy milk into your body while having a baby, DHT turns the vagina into a penis. Okay, so you could have a young boy. And sexual preference, actually, genitalia forms, I could have this wrong, and I apologize now, and I will look it up. But I remember thinking, wow, that's odd. Genitalia forms in the first trimester and sexual preference in the third trimester, because the brain actually forms the latest. In fact, this is the argument of those who are against third trimester abortion, because that's when the baby actually starts to feel pain in the third trimester, because all those wiring synapses and connections are done by the third trimester. They're not there for the second and first. So genitalia forms in the first trimester. Under the influence of DHT, we all start out as girls, and some of us become boys because DHT makes what would be the ovaries drop into the testes, and what would be the clitoris form into a penis. And so what they did was they influenced these fetuses the same way mothers are influencing their fetuses right now. If a mother, you know, 3 months into her pregnancy says, you know, I'm going to clean up my diet. I'm just going to drink soy milk because I just read this article that says dairy is bad for me. And let's say that fetus has already started to drop penis and testes. But now there's this overwhelming flood of estrogen-like compounds. While the brain is forming, it forms a sexual preference of a woman, of a female. So what do you have? You have a baby that has a penis but is attracted to other men. So, folks, I have nothing against the LGBT community. I don't care about any of this, but they should. The mothers of the children should. The mothers of the children should be aware that things that they were exposed to in their environment may have had an impact in the development of their child, of their fetus, into the young adult or the child fighting with these urges that can't be explained.
Well, I want to add something to
please, because then I want to tell you something else. I want to go further. Right. Oh, no, go ahead. Good.
Oh, I want to note that this theme has been, in essence, instead of chemical pollution in the uterus, radiation pollution. This is a variant of the X-Men theme.
So
we're producing mutants.
Yes, but I don't want to use that word mutant because it's a negative. People will think, oh, you're saying that.
Well, I don't mean it negatively.
No, I know.
We're altering the way our genetics are working. It's an epigenetic alteration.
Yes.
It's sending signals there.
And people who are gay and LGBT people are not defective people. They're not defective people. I'm not saying, oh, they're...
No.
I know you're not. I'm saying this to the audience. I don't want anybody to think, oh, Carl, you're basically saying that they're no, I'm not saying they're defective any more than the redheaded kid is defective.
Oh, I want to go further with it. If this has even got a modicum of big truth to it, it's all the more reason to provide support and understanding and acceptance.
And why the religious right needs to get off of their high horse on this one.
Well, it's a theme in the X-Men film. If you're different, you need to be persecuted. And that's bullshit. You're human.
Okay, so now let me show you the way my brain works. So I want to go back to what I said about the brain and the mind and the mindfulness being part of our evolutionary drive, why we actually stood up on our two feet and leveraged that, right? Because the brain and the mind and the mindfulness, the consciousness, realized that that was an advantage. So let me take this a step further. Let me say to you that today, the gender fluidity discussion is important, not from a political standpoint, but because there are people today, because of what's being done in the environment that's influencing fetal development, that will at some point in puberty decide that even though they have a vagina, they're attracted to women. So I'm fine with gender fluidity. But let me take this a step further. Let me tell you what's going to happen 300 years from now. This whole male-female gender categorization is going to be gone. And we're going to have breeders and non-breeders. We're not going to have, boys and girls, are you a male or a female? The government's going to want to know, are you a breeder? Are you of the kind of human that is attracted to the other gender that is going to have babies, are you of the kind of human that is not capable of breeding, but you may adopt and you may acquire and you may have artificial insemination. Don't get me wrong. But the blurring of the lines today with gender fluidity and gender in general is not a trend. It's not like bell-bottom jeans. This is the artifact of what's happening to fetal development and mothers who are pregnant because of environmental influences that we are being bathed in by industry and companies like Monsanto under the guise of government protection.
It's the tip of an iceberg. You know?
Yes. Yes.
It's a controversial one, but if we extend this as a phenomena without prejudice and begin to ask what else is going on that's not as evident, we might be opening Pandora's box.
In fact, I would submit that this will actually be the answer to a problem. So we have overpopulation today, and people are looking for ways to control population growth. Well, population growth is going to flatten out 100, 200 years from now because of this breeder, non-breeder phenomenon that we're going to see happen because of this change in the meaning of gender. And some will say it's a good thing, and then someone will say it's government conspiracy. The government wanted it this way. That's not true. Government isn't that smart, folks. They are not that coordinated. They really aren't. This is happening because industry is affecting the environment, and the environment is affecting the species. We see this in aquatic life. What I'm talking about right now is happening in the animal kingdom. How bold could we be to think it's not happening to humans too?
I want to add another dimension
Please.
To that occurred to me when we were doing the Fred show. We are subjected to pharmaceuticals that take very short-term testing for toxicity and effectivity. And the administration at this point in time is wanting to waive the effectivity testing, which means turning loose patent medicines with very little testing on an unsuspecting population. Case in point, fluoroquinolone synthetic antibiotics have been on the market for at least 15 years and only recently been discovered that they not only disrupt tendons and nervous system, but they do that they're an antibiotic that sees the mitochondria as a protozoa and goes after it, alters the DNA so that the collagen that's produced is tainted. Well, the latest finding is one of the dangers of taking that stuff for any length of time is aortic dissection and aortic aneurysms. You don't know that's going on in you until it blows open, and you probably die. I've become, with that and statins as case in point, very concerned about, we assume medications and our government tells us medications are safe. Are they? Or are we a mass group of guinea pigs that are the subjects of longitudinal studies?
Again, if you continue to invest trust in this government, in the areas where it pertains to your health, longevity, and the health and longevity of your family, and that includes nutrition and medicine. I'm serious. You're just not paying attention. I'm sorry. You're just not paying attention. Government operates under the guise of greater good. They operate in what they say is for the greater good, even if some people die or some people get sick or some people get hurt. Now, to the mass majority, they're cool with that until you are one of the casualties of the greater good, until it's your child or your daughter, your family, your mother, your sister, that happens to get rolled under the bus in the name of the greater good. Then you go, oh, man, this sucks. We got to do something about this. It's not until, and this is where we come back to awareness. As a species, we are empathetic. We are passionate. By and large, we don't want to see others harmed or hurt. But if you lack awareness and you lack critical thinking, then you can't apply those human virtues. You can't be empathetic. You can't, because you're going to say, oh, you know, you hear somebody talking about, well, my daughter got a vaccine and she developed, and you don't believe it because, oh, it can't be true. It can't be true. And then you find out that the CDC owns 21 vaccine patents, and they're the ones saying people need to vaccinate their children.
Mm-hmm.
We Elisa broke that news on a casual Friday earlier in the year that she discovered that the CDC actually owns 21 vaccine patents of the most popular vaccines used today. How could the government be trusted to tell us that these vaccines are safe when they must recover their investment from the prescribing of them?
Well, they're in conflict of interest.
Of course they are. And here's the other thing that frustrates the crap out of me. When's the last time you heard about anyone in government going to jail? I can't really remember. Maybe you do. I mean, Richard Nixon got kicked out of office.
Yeah, he got his hand slapped.
But when is the last time you heard about a high government person who broke the law, committed treason, or any of those things actually get prosecuted and go to jail?
Doesn't happen.
But meanwhile, you have one too many drinks too many times and you go to jail. You know, we have to talk about these things openly. We need more people to talk about this because we are not going to have any changes until people start to wake up. I want to take a commercial break. You want to talk about a brain trust for the show, right?
Right.
So let's do that when we come back. Stay tuned.
Transformation on Facebook, you've been wondering what I've done to create such dramatic results. One of the things is I've started every day with the Ketogenics Prime and then trained, fasted, and remained fasted till my first meal at 2 o'clock. Ketogenics Prime gives me all the energy I need while shutting down hunger. And since the ketones are bound to a quad mineral blend, I'm getting all the magnesium, calcium, potassium, and sodium I need to keep my minerals in balance. Try Ketogenics Prime yourself. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ketogenics banner ad today and save 25% off your first purchase. Ketogenics Prime. I couldn't have done it without it.
Alaskans agree that sockeye offers the truest salmon taste. Over decades of fishing Alaskan waters, Vital Choice has rare access to the very finest of these fish. Vital Choice sockeye comes from smaller harvest regions with fewer boats and faster processing. So our sockeye is flash frozen within hours of harvest to capture its fresh caught quality. Rich in flavor, omega-3s, and vitamin D, our most popular salmon also abounds in astaxanthin, the potent antioxidant that provides its vibrant red hue. Save 15% off. Go to Superhuman Radio and click the Vital Choice banner ad today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of KetoKana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Cana banner ad today.
There is no other olive oil like Papa Vint's extra virgin olive. Not just because of the care and quality that goes into producing it, but also because the unique Nocciolata di Belice olive that grows in Sicily is like no other olive in the world. Its spicy yet buttery flavor improves any food it comes in contact with. Higher in antioxidants, Papa Vint's is raw, unfiltered, and cloudy, and comes from a single orchard owned and operated by the same family for over 100 years. It's the only olive oil Elisa and I will ever use. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Papa Vince banner ad and use code SHR45 and get two bottles of Papa Vince for $45 while supplies last.
U.S. Wellness Meats is the leader in home-delivered, high-quality animal protein. Grass-fed beef, lamb, bison, and dairy. Plus, wild-caught seafood, heritage pork, and free-range poultry. Everything delivered right to your door within days of your order. There is no one better to supply you and your family with the highest quality pastured meat product and dairy than U.S. Wellness Meats. Save 15% off when you use the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the U.S. Wellness Meats banner ad.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Take a better dance now.
Welcome back. So this is the reintroduction of Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio. These are the types of things we're going to be discussing on the show. I mean, if you're insulted by these things, I would beg you to not be insulted by them, to be open-minded and listen. Because ultimately what we want is a well-rounded human being that's not only strong physically, but strong constitutionally, strong mentally, sensitive, adaptive, advanced, an advanced human being. That's what we're talking about. In fact, Ken, you said something profound.
Me?
Yes. Yes, you often do.
It was an accident.
So you said everybody looks at the movie Lucy, which you and I love, the movie, and I need to watch it again, like that's the future. We are that human now.
We are that, yes. There's two phases to two aspects of evolution. Much of it is dormant capacities that already exist. That's why I went to Japan to do my graduate work. I wanted to study mind. I couldn't do it 50 years ago in the West. I could study mind. Freud studied the mind as all human achievement can be explained in terms of sexual perversion. The behavior.
I actually like that idea because I'm a pretty perverted person.
So. Well, me too. So I went to Japan and studied taboo stuff. The behaviorist said we don't have to talk about mind. We just talk about behavior. Well, that sucked too. I wanted to know how to be bigger, stronger, faster. So I went to a culture that understood bigger, faster, stronger is amongst our potentials. It's a broader meaning of yoga than just doing the physical exercises. It turns out that in the yogic traditions or Buddhism, the Buddha, if there was a movie made about the life of the Buddha today, the actor playing the role would have to look like Arnold in his prime and have the skills of a Navy SEAL. He was a warrior. He was an alpha male. He wasn't some...
See, we think of Buddha as this heavyset guy who sits and everybody rubs his belly, but he was a warrior.
Yeah, he's a Scythian, a Central Asian warrior, and his wife was too. And they were highly refined people. And the initial tradition is not about becoming weak. Two of the synonyms for Buddha are cool and fearless. That's what we're achieving in our psychological development of being cool rather than living in amygdala hijackings, knee-jerk reactions to living a life of emotional melodramas instead of a real life. And fearless, that we're not dominated by fear setting off the limbic system. Now, in practical terms, I took a hiatus from trans-evolutionary fitness because I was overwhelmed in a lot of ways. The most important of which is I bit off more than I could chew. I was putting in huge numbers of hours and not happy with the results. So what we're doing with this program is broadening the range. I've talked to a number of people already, some of whom are world-class athletes or were and have gone on to other professions. So like the Buddha, they've got that kind of personal lineage of success in multidisciplinary things. So the approach I want and is developing is what is called transdisciplinarity today. That means that there's more than one discipline, and maybe we'll have several of them sitting at the table at the same time. We may do roundtables in which we have people from four seemingly contradictory, if not disparate, disciplines joining in on a topic, throwing more light on it than any one of their disciplines could do. For example, what Carl was talking about, I think, deserves transdisciplinary discussion, bringing more experts in to weigh in on it. Jonathan Salk wrote, "We are at a point in the course of human social evolution." Get that?
Mm-hmm.
We're dealing with social evolution here. "When the demands of survival converge with the higher ideals of humankind and the well-being and flourishing of human society, it is up to us to navigate this transition, adapting to and emerging in a new reality." That's the crux of this show, folks. We're going to have more than one person's view. We're not arguing for a conclusion. We're not arguing for a dogma. Instead, we're freeing the stage for what William James called radical empiricism. There's no taboos in what we can investigate. If dogmatists say all crows are black and we find white crows, we're bringing those white crows in and doing science instead of doing dogma. We also need sponsors, but not sponsors as stakeholders. If you are capable of being a sponsor or can recommend sponsors to facilitate our doing the show, please contact me or Carl. We want stakeholders in that this is our child. It's a community project. We're building a movement, a community here. Secondly, if there are topics that we haven't covered, contact Carl, or you can contact me on Facebook, and let's enter a discussion.
You know, my objective with this show, as is yours, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people use the word legacy. It's an overused term. But what I hope happens is 200 years from now, people find these MP3s, and they listen to them, and they go, wow. These guys were way ahead of their time because all the things they're talking about 200 years ago is happening now. We're seeing it come to fruition. Because if we can scratch that earth, then we can have more meaningful, fuller, happier lives now. Not because I want to be right. Not because I want somebody to say someday after I'm long gone, wow, that guy Carl Lenore and that guy Ken O'Neill, you know, could you believe they were talking about this all the way back then? Because that's going to happen, folks. Because we are using critical thinking. And we are willing to talk about things in the context that they deserve to be talked about in without worrying about, oh, am I going to piss this group off or piss them? Once you start talking about political correctness or even social correctness, it silences the message. We're not going to do that. We're going to look at things the way they are and try to extrapolate out using sensibility without having a bias or an idea, preformed idea that we just want to have the end point be that. So we are going to get a lot of things right, but that means that to the listener, you will end up having a happier, more fulfilled life. And isn't that what we're all, at the end of the day, that's why people want to be wealthy. That's why people want to be successful. That's why people want to be muscular, because they believe that that will bring them happiness. And while those things can bring you happiness, they cannot bring you happiness on the true epic level that humans can be happy without paying attention to awareness and mindfulness. You just can't. Because that's where you experience happiness. You don't feel happy in your fingers. You don't feel happy in your biceps. You feel happy in your mind.
And in Chinese, the word for heart and the word for mind is the same word.
Interesting. I want to take one last commercial break, and I want to come back and talk about something we did not discuss talking about. But I want to talk about sex and human sexuality for a second. I want to know more about what the West and East, how they differ when it comes to sexuality, okay?
All right.
All right, so stay tuned. We'll be right back with our last commercial break.
How to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N labs.com.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Discover the faster way of getting real results with BodybuildingSupplements.com. BodybuildingSupplements.com has powerful, proven solutions like patent technology, Crealkaline Supreme, Mass Pro Synthogen, and Adaptogen N.
RVD here. I love Adaptogen N. Give it a try. You'll see.
My Adaptogen N at BodybuildingSupplements.com. See remarkable results in 21 days or your money back. BodybuildingSupplements.com. Since 1993, the trusted source for real results.
Use promo code SUPERHUMAN and get an extra 15% off your Adaptogen N today at BodybuildingSupplements.com.
4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoCana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Cana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Cana banner ad today.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back. Eleanor Roosevelt once said, Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. And small minds discuss people, otherwise known as gossip. So Transevolutionary Fitness Radio will be a place where great minds converge to discuss ideas. I promise you that. So we have this puritanical overlay that makes sex and sexuality very dirty. In fact, other countries have full frontal nudity on television, but here, God forbid, you can take your child to see a movie where people are slaughtered en masse by machine gun toting animals. But as soon as the guy and the girl lay down in bed and they start to perform sex, oh, they get the kid to, don't let them see that. I mean, to me, this has always been a bizarre dichotomy. How is sexuality viewed differently when you went to Asia and worked and studied there?
Well, first of all, Puritanism's a relatively recent thing. That goes back to the Protestant Reformation and reaches its worst, its absolute worst, as far as I know, when Oliver Cromwell assassinated the King of England, basically,
right,
and ran the country for 8 or 9 years. The F word became taboo at that time. Before then, it was just another verb. He outlawed Christmas for being too sensual, that sort of thing. If you go further back in the Western tradition, with the arising of Christianity, and its it imposed a dualism that included poles of knowledge, the male and female, and the female was lesser. We've got that whole problem of celibacy and pollution of women and sex being for procreation only. That only gets broken down in the notion of romantic love introduced to the West with the Arthurian romances. In the Arthurian romances, the wedding bed is fine. The temple is no longer the church. It's nature. And the church moved very quickly to suppress the Arthurian mythology. It took over a century to do it, but there it is. When we go eastward, the admonition "fu" is generally not insulting in those cultures. It's more like "oh, that's a good idea."
Right. Right.
Starting in China, there's a guy named Strickman who wrote a book in 1992, "Mandarin's Mantra." The Buddhism of East Asia. He was it's a French work. What he shows is the pervasiveness of Tantra throughout East Asia, China, Japan, Central Asia, into India. And that's a whole way of looking at nature as composed of two forces, a masculine and a feminine. But unlike in the West, one is not elevated to sanctity and the other demonized. They're equals. And part of nature is the balance of the two, the interaction of the two. In terms of human conduct, the yogic traditions, this is really important for talking about mind. When you go to China and Japan, the notion is that we are hardwired for bliss. We're hardwired
right.
for ecstasy, and sexuality is a big chunk of that.
Right.
So the expression of spirituality often in Asian art, Chinese, Tao, Buddhist, Indian, Tibetan, Persian, are sexual themes. There's a temple in India that is entirely, I don't know how many walls there are, but they're all bas-relief carvings of every imaginable hetero and homosexual sexual act you can imagine. And they're all regarded as what we would call sacred.
Mm-hmm.
In that we're actualizing an important part of our being. So one tradition in Buddhism is that the Buddha's complete enlightenment occurred in bed with Yasodhara, his wife. Now,
wait, say that again. His complete enlightenment.
It's was in the sexual union with his wife yesterday.
Wow, wow.
That is not something monks will tell you about. I mean, I don't particularly care in most cases for Buddhist monks. They're traditionalist professionals and can be extremely rigid, teaching you things that are not there in the original tradition. So that's, in the main, the sexuality. We had sexuality in the Gnostic form of Christianity that was largely suppressed by the church. Some Gnostic groups were married people, but you changed partners every 12 months.
Really?
Yeah. Gnostic rituals.
Is that where the term do-si-do comes from in a square dance? switch your partner do-si-do?
I don't know. I don't know. But we had that. Benjamin Franklin was associated with the Nine Sisters Co-Masonic Lodge in Paris.
Wait, Ben Franklin?
Yeah. Yeah, Franklin and Washington and a bunch of those guys that were our founding fathers.
Yeah, Jefferson was there. He was there for a long time. Yeah.
Well, they were Masons. And the thing to keep in mind about Masons and Rosicrucians in the 18th century is those are people in our times that would probably be out doing entheogens and Buddhism.
Interesting.
That was experimental consciousness at that time. Swedenborg, Blake, a number of them were doing what we would call tantra, sexual tantra. Some French masonry was involved in that. See, what happened to me was in 1987, I think it was, I met a visiting scholar, a guy on sabbatical from Sorbonne, who was at the Graduate Theological Union in Berkeley. And we hit it off well, and I had access to some things that he wanted to see. And then when I'd go to France, I'd spend time with him. He was a professor of Sorbonne. He was a member of the L'École Pratique des Aptitudes. But what I learned from him was what led up to the development of our Renaissance. And the major item was that overthrew the authority of the Inquisition was the reintroduction of the term gnosis, G-N-O-S-I-S. Gnosis would correspond to illumination or enlightenment or something like that, knowing. Words like prognosis, diagnosis have that stem. Our word K-N-O-W comes from that. Where did they get the idea? Well, it was present in the Greek and Roman classics, but those were suppressed by the church. Remember the movie The Name of the Rose that dealt with that?
Yep.
So where'd they get it? Well, Islam was collapsing. Islam's Renaissance golden age was falling apart. And the hierophants of Islam that were doing things passed our texts back to us, both in German and Italian countries and in Moorish Spain. So we had Teresa of Avila, one of the great saints of Catholicism, who was a Jewish woman. We had St. Thomas Aquinas, whose Summa Theologica is the governing document of much of Catholic theology. He rewrote Aristotle. We didn't have Aristotle until the Arabs gave it back to us.
Interesting.
So we have this whole ferment going on that in 1462 erupts in the Medici court as the Renaissance, and it's facilitated by Mehmet II, the Turkish Ottoman caliph who overthrew Constantinople and unified Turkey around the Bosphorus. He sent a whole bunch of books to his friend Cosimo de' Medici, who then assigned a guy that worked for him, he patronized, by the name of Marsilio Ficino, Platonic Academy. He said, put everything else aside, translate the Corpus Hermeticum, the Hermetic collection of texts, which were said to be from ancient Egypt, from Moses, or no, from ancient Egypt of an antiquity as great as that of Moses, and then later they decided they're even more ancient. That was the book that really emphasized gnosis or direct knowing. It facilitated the development of science. It said there's a kind of free thinking that's at the base of us. We overthrow the illusions of normality, of common sense. We can go on to higher truths. And that's what facilitated science and what made science such a horrible heresy.
It's funny.
And the last guys that were big on that were General Lafayette and George Washington, who as Masonic brothers set forth to overthrow the rule of cross and crown in America and in France, and they did it.
Yeah.
That's why we have a separation of church and state.
So when do we change the way sexuality is viewed here in the United States? Is it possible?
Well, I've seen it in my – I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area. You know, we had a free speech movement. We had a Vietnam movement. We had all sorts of movements in the 60s, feminist. And we had sexual freedom movement. There was a periodical, a freebie called the Berkeley Barb that was a voice of that. By 1972, there was started as a three-hour show that turned into a 6 hours each morning program called California Girls. Women would call in and talk about intimate details of their sexual life. I mean, it became widespread therapy. I mean, I've seen this transition. I don't know that it's hit much at all in Texas or other parts of the country. I can't really speak to that. But there's more than sexuality involved in it. It's intimacy. You know, maybe we can get Miranda Shaw to be on the show.
Who is she?
Miranda Shaw did her doctoral work at Harvard over 20 years ago and published it as a book called A Passionate Enlightenment. She worked with Tibetan women teachers on the Tibetan frontier who were from a long tantric tradition of essentially men and women engaging in bliss bonding. The nature of their relationship was not to be meaningful, but to go into deeper and deeper bliss, into that primary state that the yogic traditions say is our essential nature. And she wrote a hell of a book. It was dissed upon by mainstream Buddhist scholars who, by gosh, are mostly men. I had praised it on a Buddhist academic list 20-some years ago and was counseled that the book was unacceptable. But I was never told why.
That's funny.
The cool thing was that her faculty mentor was somebody I knew, and he was from the same tradition of Japanese Buddhism that I'm trained in. So he's post-monastic. He doesn't have a problem with her work. It's congruent with the way we see the world. But the Western academic sense has made a horrible mess of Buddhism.
I think we need to pull the plug on today's show. We've covered a lot. We've kind of reintroduced the show, and then the next show we have will be with the son of Jonas Salk, right?
Yep, next week on the 18th at, 4 o'clock your time?
Yeah, it's going to be 4 o'clock. It's going to be a separate, outside of the normal Superhuman Radio broadcast time, so it'll be a separate show. And if you have topics you want us to cover, if you're liking where this show is going, and you have things that you've read about, it could be about noetics. We've covered some of that in the past. Spirituality, mindfulness, meditation, all these things.
Frank Zane's Light Sound.
Yeah, we're going to have Frank on.
Mind Muscle Machine.
Yeah, we're going to have Frank on. So this is where the show is going. If you like it, please tell your friends about it. If you don't like it, give it a few episodes before you say it sucks, because I can promise you that we will be covering some thought-provoking and compelling topics that you won't hear anywhere else.
We're going to have Bob Guida on. We're going to have Lance Dreher, two-time Mr. America, Mr. Universe Lance Dreher.
Yeah, we got some good, and the guest list will grow from there, I promise you.
So, oh, yeah.
All right, Ken, thank you for today's episode.
Thank you, Carl. It's been fun doing it again.
Yeah, we cover a lot of really interesting stuff. And like I said, hopefully we won't offend too many people and people will be open-minded. Again, we're not talking about religion here, so get that out of your head. We had that.
Or politics. We're not doing
or politics. No religion, no politics. This is about your brain, your mind. You own it. Take control of it. And we'll see everybody next week with a special episode of Trans Evolutionary Fitness Radio. Take it easy, Ken.
Take it easy, Carl. Bye.
And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio. Thank you for listening today.